إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، we saw in our last sitting some of the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم concerning the فرقة الناجية والجماعة. One of the things that we know that the Prophet ﷺ does is that he explains the Qur'an. And at times, the Prophet ﷺ brings legislation that we don't find in the Qur'an. All of those things are considered to the Muslim hujjah or evidence. Allah mentions in the Qur'an that He has given you the name Muslims before this and in this book. This is what we find in the Qur'an, that Allah calls you Muslim. In that hadith of Awf ibn Malik, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was questioned about the successful group, what did he say? Al-Jama'ah. Did he say Al-Muslimun? He didn't say Al-Muslimun, he said Al-Jama'ah. He gave them a different name. So when the Prophet ﷺ described the group that is going to be successful, he called them, in this way he gave them a description, that there will always be a group Mansura. He gave him this description of Nasr, and this is why the Ahlul Ilm also call the Jama'ah At-Ta'if Al-Mansura, because Allah's Messenger describes them like this. So both labels are found in the Sunnah, not from the scholars, but from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourage the people, he encouraged them to be upon the Sunnah. And we saw the hadith of Ibad ibn Sariyah, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, alaykum, and he said, this is min asalib al-arabiyya al-nati tudul ala al-wujud. So this is one of the actual methods or mode of expressions in the Arabic language that indicates compulsion. For this reason, we find the earlier scholars, when they spoke about the people who are on this path, they say, Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah li-istima'ihim ala sunnah. They call them Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, first of all, because the Prophet ﷺ called them al-Jama'ah, and then he pointed out that they must be upon the Sunnah. And so they're coming together on this basis that gave them this description. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, in his day and time, even back in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or people, they call them Qurayshi because you're from the Quraysh. No one criticizes you because you say you're Qurayshi. Or if you came from Medina, you say Madani. Or Mecca, Makki. No one criticizes you. But if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes himself to his daughter as a salaf, and a person says to himself, well, I'm going to ascribe myself to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say salafi, yet people want to take the dunya up and turn it upside down. But we don't find that with the earlier scholars on the Sunnah. I'm only mentioning that because sometimes you hear a discussion amongst the people, well, Allah calls you Muslim, so you shouldn't use anything else. And what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam call you? We can't call ourselves what the Prophet called us. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we need to shove that aside and say, why? So that's one of the things, yani very often, in order to push people away from understanding the methodology of the sunnah, they try to play with terminologies and make the saying that the basis is wrong for naming yourself like this, therefore everything you fall into is wrong. So alhamdulillah, I'm sure the brothers are above that, and they will not be deceived by it. One of the things we do find in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 103 and 104. He says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. This particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, saying, shall I not inform you of the greatest losers in respect to their deeds? Those whose efforts have been wasted. Those whose efforts have been wasted in this life, in hayat al-dunya, in this life, the life of this world, and they consider themselves as acquiring good deeds. Ibn Kathir, he says this particular verse is general and it includes every individual who worships Allah ala ghayri tariqatin mardiyah, in a way that, in a path that is not pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he considers himself as being right in what he's doing, وَأَنَّ عَمَلَهُ مَقْبُولٌ, and that his deeds are acceptable, وَهُوَ مُخْتِي, that he's wrong, and his deeds are being rejected. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ تَصْلَى نَارًا حَامِيَةٌ. Some faces on that day will be humble, in a state of humility, working, wearing, and still yet burning in the fire. Doing deeds, exerting themselves, but still yet the consequences of their deeds shall be the flames. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions elsewhere in the Quran, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجِعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مِنْ فُورًا. That we come to their deeds, the things that they used to do, and we make it as dust particles scattered in the wind. No reward for them. No reward in spite of them exerting themselves. This particular verse includes every person who worships Allah in a way that is not according to the Sunnah, that you shall receive no reward for. This then shows the danger of innovation. That you can work your whole life in thinking that you're doing something to get to paradise. In Yawm al-Qiyamah, you find that nothing. Zero. That's serious. There was a narration which is collected by both Bukhari and Muslim. The expression here is by Bukhari. He said, this narration, that Ali ibn Abi Talib, khataba Ali ibn Abi Talib ala minbar. He gave an address from the minbar. And he had a sword. And in it, it had some scrolls. And this scroll was actually tied up with a sword. And he said, Wallahi, ma indana min kitabin yuqra illa kitabullah. We don't have any book that is read except the book of Allah. Now Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he said this because very early some of the people started to attribute to him certain things that were not due to him. that perhaps you have some secret message, perhaps you have some secret knowledge. And so Ali ibn Abi Talib used to make it clear to the general people, no, this is not the case. This is not the case. Early on, some of the people used to consider him to be more than that. Some of the people, the Shabaiya, they used to consider him to be Allah. And after Ali commanded them to be burned, they said, we know he's Allah now, because only Allah punishes his crimes. Ibn Abbas used to say to him, you know, if it was me, I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't use fire, because only Allah has the right to punish your fire. But I would have done what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me to do. But these people, because of that beginning, Ali ibn Abi Talib wanted to make it clear, there's nothing special about me above the other companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at all. He said, so I don't have anything special to read other than this book, the Book of Allah, وَمَا فِي هَذِكِ الصُّحِيفَةِ, and what is found in these scrolls. And what he had in those scrolls, and he opened it up, فَنَشُرَهَا فَإِذَا فِيهَا أَسْنَانُ الْإِبِلِ, and it had the different ages of the camels. And in it, al-Madina haram, that the Medina is sacred. مِنْ عَيْرِ لَا كَذَا, from the mount of Ayr to such and such. فَمَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِيهَا حَدَثًا, whoever introduces or does something in this particular place that is against the deen. And the Ahlul Ilm considered the word hadath to include innovation. Whoever does this in Medina, says, فَعَلَيْهِ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ, he has upon him the curse of Allah, the curse of the angels, and the curse of all mankind. Then he said, لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ صَرْفًا وَلَا عَدْلًا, and Allah shall not accept from him any compulsory deed or any optional act of worship. This is how he describes Sultan Wa'adiyah. Not any of that, because of this act of innovating in Medina. We know that the whole concept of la'na is not just, okay, yani you curse. La'na literally means, yani, or what it implies is al-ib'ad an rahmatillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you be made distant, is a supplication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no mercy on you. So here, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is supplication, may Allah have no mercy on you, you know your deed must not be righteous at all. So innovations then are serious. Serious. Hasan al-Basri, he said about this expression in the hadith, hadath. He says, Ashabul fitan kulluhum muhdithun. He said, the people of fitan, the people who try to stir up this harmony, this God in the Muslim community, all of them are companions of hadith. He says, Ahlul ahwa kulluhum muhdithun. The people who follow their desires and in opposition to the text, the Quran and the Sunnah, all of them are muhdithun, the innovators. The people who are introducing into Allah's deen that which is not of it. This then is an indication, Annie, of the seriousness of innovations. And that the brothers and sisters should be careful to stay away from it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this narration, which is collected by both Bukhari and Muslim, he says, "Man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu fahuwa radd." Whoever introduces into this affair of all that which is not of it, shall have it rejected. Anything that is introduced, be rejected. There is another narration which is collected by Muslim. من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا هو رد. Who acts upon a deed that is not according to the Quran and Sunnah, he shall have it rejected. And now he says, this particular hadith is a strong principle against innovation. The first one, if the people say, well, look, I haven't introduced anything. I'm just acting upon it. Now, I found it here with my forefathers. They were the ones who did it. He says, when they start talking like that, you quote the next hadith, Allah's messenger left the door closed. If you didn't do it, then you shouldn't be acting upon it. Whoever acts upon it, even if you didn't do it or started it, you're just like the person. Your deeds are rejected. So the principle here is that innovations are harmful. They're harmful to the person in this life and in the life to come. Hassan al-Basri, he used to say, إِنَّ صَحِبَ الْبِرَةِ لَا يُقْبَلْ مِنْهُ صَوْمٌ وَلَا صَلَاةٌ وَلَا حَجٌ وَلَا عُمْرَ وَلَا صَدَقَ وَلَا جِحَادٌ وَلَا صَرْفٌ وَلَا عَدْلٌ. He used to say that Sahib, the companion of Bid'ah, his fasting is not accepted, his salah is not accepted, his hajj is not accepted, his umrah is not accepted, his sadaqah is not accepted, his jihad is not accepted, no optional or compulsory act. He's accepted from him. And you might as well go take your shahada over. Here, Fudayl ibn Iyad, he said, لا يرفع لصاحب بدعة إلى الله عمله. He said, the person who innovates, none of his deeds are raised up to Allah. Now, if that is not sufficient to show how serious innovations are, if that is not sufficient encouragement for the believers to try and check out, man, you start looking around you, you know that all, look, إِنَّمَا هِيَ أَعْمَالَكُمْ مُحْصِهَا لَكُمْ ثُمَّ أُوَفِيكُمْ إِيَّاهَا فَمَنْ وَجِدَ خَيْرًا فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ وَجِدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. In this particular hadith al-Qudsi, we are taught by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, it is your deeds that we reckon for you. And then you are recompensed accordingly. So whoever finds good, let him praise Allah. And whoever finds other than that, then let him blame no one but himself. If you got no deeds in the first place because you're innovating, you're in trouble. Some of the Ahlul Ilm, when they look at this particular narration, it gives some of us some hope. He said, look, in respect to the deeds, there are two things that we're looking at in the individual. First of all, the individual himself and his state. Is he a Muslim? If he's a Muslim, alhamdulillah, he's in the door. But if he's a Kafir, he's still outside in the streets. If he is doing something that negates his Islam, he's doing some act that takes him out of Islam, he's still out in the street. He's not even going to be looked at. So if he's in the door, because he's a Muslim, now you have to look at the deeds that he's performed. And there are two conditions. Al-Ikhlas wal-Mutaba'a. Two things. It has to be sincere and it must be according to the Sunnah. Each individual may have a number of deeds. Those deeds where he is sincere and it is in accordance with the Sunnah, alhamdulillah, he said. Those deeds where he is sincere but his deeds are not in accordance with the Sunnah, he's in trouble. To be rejected. Those deeds where he's not sincere, he comes in the masjid, Nobody's in the masjid. Takes him 2 minutes to perform four rak'ah. Allahu Akbar sat here like a typewriter. He comes in the masjid is full. Half a minute to say Allahu Akbar, whoa. Somebody's looking at him. Someone's looking at him. So he is now not for Allah, it's for the people to see. This person is in trouble. This person is in trouble. Here, the scholars are saying, look, you know the warning that we find from the Salaf concerning the people of innovation, we have to take it in this light. Everybody has some shortcomings. This person may be an innovator, maybe in a small area. Now this particular act is on bid'ah, it has nothing to do with the sunnah, so that is going to be rejected. He may have some other acts that are according to the sunnah, that sincerity is involved, we cannot say that Allah is not going to accept it. That's a middle course. If you see the particular hadith, you want to make sure that you're clear of any act of innovation because the Prophet ﷺ had no specification like that. So to close the door, دَعْ مَا يَرِيبُكْ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِيبُكْ. Leave that which makes you doubt for that which does not make you doubt. Make sure the house is clean, no innovations in the corner, in the rooms, nowhere. And then we could hope, inshallah, that Allah will accept it, inshallah.
Al-Mubtadi'.
We find, yani, really, amongst the Ahlul Ilm, when they speak about innovations, this is something that there's a lot of focus on. Alhamdulillah, focus was placed on it in the earlier generations and in the manhaj of the people of the Sunnah so that this deen would be protected. So our deen would not be changed like the Christians and the Jews changed their religion. So much so that you cannot really say that any of this has been attributed to Isa or Musa. We know that there are going to be some Muslims who will follow them like the Prophet ﷺ mentioned until they go into the hole of a lizard, some people will follow them. It doesn't mean that your whole body, but it shows how closely you will follow them in the mistakes that they make. So we know for a fact that there will be Muslims. As a matter of fact, the hadith shows that there will be a large group of Muslims who will not be on the haq, on the truth. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said to us in respect to teaching us, بَدَى الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبَكَ مَا بَدَى فَتُوبَى لِلْغُرُبَانِ. That Islam started out غَرِيب. غَرِيب according to the Ahlul Ilm في أفراد قليلين. In a few people, that's how Islam started. He said it will return like that. But only a few people really practicing the religion. That means that we have to be aware that, look, perhaps the culture where we're from, the majority is not a yardstick of what is right. People say, people come and they say, man, you mean everybody back home is wrong? My father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, all of them wrong? They're wrong, they're wrong. If they think that Allah is everywhere and Allah is in everything, if they think you can wear a juju and depend on it instead of depending on Allah, if they think that you could equate something like this with Allah and put it on instead of depending on Allah like the Prophet used to do, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the companion, you think that is alright? You can have a whole society where the women don't dress properly and the men know better, and that's right? Look, Allah teaches us, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّوكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you were to obey the majority of the people in the earth, they will lead you away from Allah. The majority is not a yardstick for righteousness. It's the Qur'an and the Sunnah and the understanding of the Sahaba. No matter what you found, the people, you know what the people told the Prophet ﷺ? They used to say the same thing. إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ. We found our forefathers following a religion, and we're going to follow them. They will criticize for this. Why didn't they check? Is it in the Quran? Is it in the Sunnah? Is it all right? Does it have some basis? I'm just following it because I found it there. Allah didn't send down tradition. He revealed the Quran and the Sunnah. And we as Muslims, we have a responsibility to check it out. Let me see where it's in the Quran that you can do this. Where is it in the Sunnah? Was this something of the Sahaba? Or is it just that I'm going in the masjid, everybody is doing this, and it's all right? I mean, then what is the purpose for revelation if we're not going to check with the revelation, we're going to check and see the custom, and okay, it's all right. Why should Allah send down a book if we're not going to check it? Why should the Sunnah be there if it's not going to be the way, the guide for us in our lives? When we say we have the Sunnah, we say that we're Muslims. Here we have Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. He used to say it like this. He says, "Man ibtada'a fil Islam bid'atan yaraha hasana." فَقَدْ زَعْمَ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا خَانَ الرِّسَالَةِ. Whoever innovates into this deen, a bid'ah, and he considers it good, he is claiming that the Prophet ﷺ was not truthful in conveying the message. He said, لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَقُولُ. Because Allah says, now, first of all, how is a person who innovates criticizing the Prophet ﷺ? How is he doing it? He's doing it in this way. If with the Prophet ﷺ, God was complete, if it was the best, then the additions that you're producing, you're either saying that that's not good enough, or what I'm doing is a little bit better. And so the Prophet ﷺ didn't convey it totally. I'm going to put a little bit of perfection on it so it becomes clear. Imam Malik is teaching, look, even if he doesn't say this, his actions are speaking louder than his words. Otherwise, he'd be on the Sunnah. He'd be checking before he does an act of worship. Is this something that the Prophet ﷺ did? Did he believe this way? Did the Prophet ﷺ, when he wanted protection, did he wear a charm on his neck? Brothers, did the Prophet ﷺ wear a charm around his neck? No, man, you kidding? A charm on his neck? مَنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. Who is it that answers the person when he's distressed and answers the call of the person in need? This is what Allah says to these mushrikeen who used to do that. أَإِلَهُ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Some other God that you're going to put along with Allah, this thing you're going to liken to Allah, that he has some control in the creation to change harm and good, you're going to wear this instead of calling out to Allah, Al-Wahid Al-Had. إِلَهُ مَعَ اللَّهِ. Create Allah with Allah. Look, man, let me tell you something. The idol worshippers in those days had more sins than some of the Muslims today. I'm serious. When them cats got on the boat, the waves got high, they forgot Lad, Uzzah, and that and all of them.
Ain't nobody when the wave got up and the boat started to get shaky, nobody said, Ya Lat, Ya Uzza. We say, Ya Allah. Allah mentions this when they yani rakibu fil fulki da'u Allah mukhlisin lahu din. Lamma najahum ila al-bahr. Once they get in trouble, these were the mushrikeens. Once they get in trouble, they forget Lat, Uzza and their other little idols that they had, them sticks and wood, and they start looking up above the sky. Oh Allah. That was the idol worshippers. And then once they get to safety, they said, Ya Lat, you are right. In this day and time, the Muslims, when they get difficulties, Ya Abdul Qadir, Ya Rifa'i, difficulties, they call on people, man. Calling on somebody they consider to be a saint. I mean, the idol worship had a little bit more sense than that. Imam Malik, he said, whoever introduces into the deen of ours that which is not of it, and he considers it to be good, he is claiming that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has not conveyed the message. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. Because Allah says, this day have I completed your deen and perfected my favors upon you, and I'm pleased with Al-Islam as your religion. The deen is complete. Allah perfected it. If you know a human being that could add to what Allah has perfected, don't raise your hand in the masjid, go outside and do so. Nobody could put an add to what Allah has perfected. Nobody. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This year, Imam Malik says, look, if this is the case, فَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَوْمَ إِذٍ دِينًا فَلَا يَكُنُ يَوْمْ دِينًا. So what was not religious or religion and deen in that day and time, don't make it deen in this day and time. Don't make it deen in this day and time. At all. For that reason, we find the Ahlul Ilm, when we speak about the Sunnah, following the Qur'an, following the Sunnah, they deal with certain details that we need to be aware of. For example, they say that for you to be on the Sunnah, in addition to having sincerity, you must agree with the Sunnah in certain things. If you're going to do something, it must be according to the time, the place, the amount, how it was done, the type of ibadah, and all of those things must be in place for it to be on the Sunnah. In other words, for example, we know that Ramadan is fasted. The fasting is in Ramadan. For you to be on the Sunnah, you cannot fast Ramadan and Sha'ban. It has to agree, the act of worship has to agree with the time, the zaman. And if it's a place for Hajj, we have some Muslims in a particular Muslim country. They make pilgrimage to the tomb of a Hindu saint every year by the thousands. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about the place. Some of the prostitutes are picketing for their lives. The prostitutes. It's a Muslim country. In this country, some of the Muslims go and make pilgrimage to the home of a Hindu saint. Now we know that in terms of acts of worship, that if there is a particular place specified, then you can't change it. Pilgrimage is only due to where?
Mecca.
Tawaf is only around the Kaaba. You don't go around no grave talking about you doing Tawaf. That's not Islam, that's another religion. So it must be when we're dealing with acts of ibadah, the time, the place is important. How the act of worship is done. How the act of worship is done. If we know that the Prophet ﷺ performed an act of worship a certain way, then we try to follow that. Certain aspects of that act of worship may not be compulsory, may be optional. But if you want to put those optional aspects into practice, you want to do it the way the Prophet ﷺ said it's supposed to be done. For example, how many brothers have read the Muwatta of Imam Malik? Quite a few brothers have read the Muwatta. In the chapters on Salah, Imam Malik narrates from Abi Hazm, from Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi, he said, كَانَ النَّاسِ يُؤْمَرُونَ أَنْ يَضَعَ الرَّجُلُ يَدَهُ الْيُمْنَى عَلَى ذِرَاعِهِ الْيُسْرَى فِي الصَّلَاةِ. Says that his companion said that the people were commanded. Now, commands came from who during the time of the Prophet ﷺ? Either from Allah or from the Prophet ﷺ. And this companion is teaching his student, the tabi'i, what they were commanded to do and it wasn't changed. The people were commanded to pray putting the right hand on the left forearm in salah. At-Tabarani in his Mu'jam al-Kabir and Ibn Hibban in the book Mawarid al-Dham'an mentions a narration from Ibn Abbas with a sound chain of narration. That the Prophet ﷺ says, Inna ma'ashar al-anbiya, we, the group of prophets, umirna, we were commanded to hasten the breaking of the fast, to delay the suhoor, the pre-dawn meal, wa anada aymanina ala shama'ilina fi salah, and to put our right hand on our left in salah. This was not only a sunnah then of our Prophet ﷺ, but it was a sunnah of the Anbiya. We have it in the Muwatta of Imam Malik, we have it in this in the Ma'ajim, and then we have other narrations from the other companions in the Sunnah, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Abi Dawood, Nasa'i, Ibn Majah, and others. That's the text that we have. Now, if you can bring me a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that goes in opposition to this, you say, alhamdulillah. That if you can only bring me some traditional practice and no text, then you need to adhere to the text that has been revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How he performed his prayer. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited Surah Al-Fatiha and was not just contented to say Allahu Akbar or Subhanallah, but at the beginning of the prayer and each rak'ah and emphasized it, that this is the condition, La Salata. There is no prayer for the person who does not read the mother of the book. This particular usloob or this particular mode of expression in the Arabic language shows shart or condition. That it's a condition for your salah being accepted that you recite Fatiha. If we understand this, then it means that, look, that particular way of performing the prayer, we should try to adhere to. Unless you have some other text from the Prophet ﷺ saying, oh, now Rasul Ayn, you accept it. The thing is, look, the time, the place, how it was done, and the amount of what is being done. We had one person who used to drink liquor. And he used to be a little bit, high in Salah. He shouldn't be doing it. One day he led the prayer, and he prayed Fajr 4 rak'ah. And when he got through, he turned around to the people, say, Azizukum. He said, y'all want some more? Now, for us, we know that in following the Sunnah, Fajr is 2. So we cannot go and add to that. You cannot make Dhuhr 5, Maghrib 4, Fajr 6. You have to follow the number, the amount that the Prophet ﷺ did. You cannot add to that. Also, of the things that we must look at, is the reason behind the particular act of worship. Eid, celebration. Now, they have some places where they have halalween. Yeah, they got halalween. The name is supposed to make the devilish day permissible. Right? Instead of saying Halloween, they say halalween. Right? They have... No, not halal. We got some brothers on that manhaj too. But it is, look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he came to Medina, he found the people, they used to celebrate these days, the days of Wa'af and others. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, no, Allah has changed these days of yours for other days of celebration, Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. These are the days of celebration. The reason for it is the Eid. We don't celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate Easter. We don't celebrate none of that. How many of the companions used to sit up chanting Qasa'id during the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How many of you know Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhum? Anhuma, or Uthman and Ali, or Talha or Zubair, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, Sa'ad or Sa'id, any of the Ashar al Mubashar of the Jannah, how many of them used to celebrate the Prophet's birthday?
No.
Any of them? Wait. Maybe Ibn Mas'ud did it once. Perhaps Abdul ibn Abbas did it occasionally. Well, ain't none of them? Maybe Abu Musa al-Ash'ari did it. Okay, then, I don't think we're going to find none of the Sahaba doing it. Let's go to the Tabi'een. Maybe some of the Tabi'een did it. Well, the Tabi'een didn't do it, you know, malice. Maybe get by a Tabi'een, some of them used to get up and recite Qasa'id for the Prophet. Man, look, if you don't find it being done with the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Adba'i Tabi'een, فَمَنِ النَّاسِ بَعْضَهُمْ. You don't find none of them, who are the people after them that you're going to follow? Why then has it become such a popular, not only that, I remember visiting a place, and they had this thing they called ta'zim. I didn't know what it meant at the time. So the brother invited me many years ago, back in 1980. Right? I was a little bit younger at the time. They invited me to this place and I didn't know what was going on. And so they served some food. After the food was served, this person got up chanting some stuff. I don't know to this day what he was saying. Right? But he started this melodious type of chant. And I heard, Allahumma salli, and he went on. And he got to a point where everybody stood up in the masjid. And I'm just sitting down, and he's pointing with his index finger, man, you better stand up. Right? So anyway, I mean, luckily I stood up, but I didn't know why I was standing. He later told me that these people feel that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present in those cities. Now, just think about that. You have it in every house on the block. You got one messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You got every house on the block. Not only on that part of the world, they have it in other parts of the world, the same tradition. And people get up. Don't you know, in Anas ibn Malik, these people are really not studying the Sunnah. Anas ibn Malik, in this narration, he says, no one was dearer to us than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. مَا كَانَ حَدٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ حَبَّ إِلَيْنَا شَخْصًا الرَّسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Nobody. We love nobody more than Allah's Messenger. But once he came, no one would stand for him لِمَا يَعْلَمُونَ مِنْ كَرَاهِيَةِ لِذَلِكَ. No one would stand up for him because of the dislike that they knew he had for them. No one would stand up. This is Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, coming in the majlis with his Sahaba. Anas ibn Malik said, not one of us would stand up because we knew he disliked it. These people stand up because they think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is present. Not only that, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, he entered the whole Ibn al-Zubayr and one of the other companions, al-Tabi'in. When he entered, Ibn Zubayr sat, and the other one, I think his kunya was Abu Amr. He stood up. And Muawiyah said to him, Ijlis, sit down. فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ يَقُولُ مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَمْثُلَ لَهُ رِجَالٌ أُنَاسٌ قِيَامًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّ مَقْعَدُهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. He said to him, sit down. Who stand up for me? Because I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, whoever likes that the people should stand up for him, when he enters in this way, let him prepare his abode in the fire. All of that has been introduced. Why? Because of a lack of study of the Quran and the Sunnah and the methodology of the Salaf. So here we know that Eid and those other things that are to be done, we have some basis for it. This celebrating of the Prophet's birthday, celebrating of the middle of Sha'ban, and all that stuff, which is based on some fabricated narrations. People do it all over the Muslim world. And really, when you think about it, you see and you believe even more in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said Islam started out with a few people and it shall return with a few people. The majority of Muslims would not even think about it. Look, man, let's find out. Was this done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Let's see if the companions did this. Let's see, maybe the Tabi'een did it. If none of, maybe the Adba'i Tabi'een, at least one of the three generations. But to find that it wasn't done, period, and then it's being done, you think it's acceptable or it's right? One of the things that we want to look at then is the reason for the act of worship and the type of worship which is being done. Those six things must be in place for a person to be coextensive with the Sunnah. To be online with the Sunnah. Okay? Some of the examples that were given by Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala in this area, he mentions, alhamdulillah, he mentions, he says, no, that al-mutaba' la tatahaqqaq illa idha kana al-amal muwafiqan lish-shari'a fi umurin sitta. No, that following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam can never be actualized until we are in agreement with the Sharia in six things. I remember we did this before, right? We went around the room and we questioned some of the brothers. So I know the brothers remember it now. You see, sir? Huh? Wait. The Shaykh mentions as-sabab, what are we going to do again? As-zaman, the time, al-makan, the place, what else? Al-kayfiyya, how? Al-qadr, the amount, as-sab, as-jins, what are we going to say? As-sabab, the reason, as-jins, the time. How many is that? Six. Yes, everything. So we have what? Az-zaman, the place. Is that the place, the time? Wal-makan, the place. Wal-kayfiyya, how the act is being performed. And al-qadr, the amount. Sabab, the reason. And then al-jins, the type of acts that is being performed. 16. Oh yeah. The example that he gives, I got another, we're going to speak after the number. No, six of them. Yeah, six. You got seven? Let me hear them. Al-Waq. We said Az-Zaman. Yeah. Az-Zaman, no. Mekan. Kayfiyya. Qad. Jins. Sabah. How many is that? Right, six now. Okay, what we're going to do, inshallah, we're going to let our brother, inshallah, translate for in some of the Saninke, the brothers, and then after Maghrib, inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion in English, inshallah, and after that, we're going to translate again for those who might have missed something in the English, inshallah. بارك الله فيك سبحانك وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك